What political philosopher or thinker do you most identify with and why?
Christ, because he changed my heart.
I thought that Jesus' being here was about his death and dying on the cross, when it really was about him coming to show us how to do it, to show us the Christ consciousness that he had, and that consciousness abides with all of us.
And that will necessarily involve continuing good relations with the Tibetan people and their remarkable representative, the Dalai Lama.
Hello, Dalai. This is Louis Dalai.
The walls between Christians and Muslims and Jews cannot stand. These now are the walls we must tear down.
Now, I know that they're rare, but they're not as rare as you think. And I know that it's difficult in this very highly charged political season that we find ourselves in to talk about things like being pro-life and being a Democrat, because, of course, the Democratic Party is popularly known for not being the party of life. But this is much to the chagrin of many people who belong and, in other respects, vote with that party. Certainly, the Republicans don't have a corner on the market of being pro-life. We're going to talk about pro-life Democrats for the first part of Issues, Etc. in this second hour. Kristen Day is our guest. After our conversation with Kristen, Dr. Alvin Schmidt will join us to talk about the influence of Christianity on Western civilization. He's author of the book, How Christianity Changed the World. Now, you can join us for the next hour, 1-877-623-MY-IE. That's our call-in number, 877-623-MY-IE. You can also email us right here in the studio. We are coming to you live this Friday. It's the 1st of August. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Kristen Day is Executive Director of Democrats for Life, based in Washington, D.C. Kristen, welcome back.
Well, thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be on today.
How would you respond to someone who says that being a Democrat and being pro-life is a contradiction in terms?
Now, that is probably the number one question I get when people find out about our organization, or, you know, and also say that it's an oxymoron. But, you know, there's several reasons why I think it's important for people, pro-life Democrats, to stay in the party and really fight for a place at the table. And the number one reason, in which all pro-lifers should agree on, is we really truly need a strong pro-life majority of people in both parties if we're going to pass legislation and really promote pro-life issues around the nation. Without pro-life Democrats in the House and Senate, we would not be able to pass any pro-life legislation. The Partial Birth Abortion Act is one of the best examples of that, when we had 17 Democrats support it in the Senate, which allowed it to pass. That's one of the main reasons why I think that it's important for pro-life Democrats to stay in the party. But also, I think, for me, staying in the party is when you look at other issues that I just tend to agree more with the Democratic Party on, such as providing more support. One of the things we're working on right now is providing more support for pregnant women to make sure that they have the resources to carry the children to term. And Congressman Davis introduced the bill in the House side, and Senator Casey introduced the bill on the Senate side. And it's one of our major legislative initiatives right now, which has broad-based Democratic support and which could do a lot to decrease the abortion rate in America.
You named two right there, but can you name for us kind of the bright lights in the Democratic Party when it comes to pro-life Democrats?
Oh, sure. I think Bart Stupak is one of the leaders in the House side. He's the co-chair of the Pro-Life Caucus, and he has really been working tirelessly behind the scenes and within the Democratic caucus to make sure that, you know, the pro-life issues that we have passed over the last decades stay in place. And, he's really worked hard with the Democratic leadership, and, he's one of the really bright stars there. And also we have Colin Peterson from the great state of Missouri, who is the chairman of the Agriculture Committee, who's a strong leader and voice for pro-life issues. Jim Oberstar has been a long-time supporter of Democrats for Life and just a good advisor to us. And we have some new people who were elected in 2006, which was very exciting. They're really strong pro-life leaders. Joe Donnelly from Indiana, Heath Shuler from North Carolina, Brad Ellsworth from Indiana, and you know, so we look forward to electing a few more this time around.
What is the current position of the Democratic Party platform on the life issue?
Well, the 2004 platform was not too positive for us. It said we support Roe v. Wade and a woman's right to choose regardless of her ability to pay, and we oppose Republican efforts to undermine those rights. And that was the extent of it. I am much more hopeful this time around that the platform is going to be much better and more inclusive for those in the party who support the pro-life point of view. I think they're having people are testifying this weekend and they're working on the platform. And I am eager to see the language.
So you anticipate at least more, I don't want to sound too cynical about it, but you anticipate more toleration within the party for a pro-life movement.
Right. I think so. I mean, I think the 2004 platform, there was no room really for those in the party who support a pro-life point of view. And, you know, I'm pretty confident that this time around it's going to be much more open to, you know, saying that, yes, there are people who have different views on this issue and I'm looking at places of agreement.
What does it say to you, Kristen, that there are it has been a trend, I think, probably from the last presidential cycle, for two things to occur with pro-choice Democrats in this case. One is more readily to admit that abortion is a national evil and that it should be rarer, although that's not great. It's still better than – and also what seems to me the effort on the part of some pro-choice Democrats to portray themselves as pro-life. They'll even say things. I remember John Kerry saying, I'm pro-life. I believe life begins at conception, but – I can't impose my moral views on anyone else. What does that tell you?
Yeah, you know, I think that's a little frustrating when people say I'm pro-life, but, you know, and I hope that we don't see much of that anymore because I think Kerry found out that it didn't work very well. I think after the election, he started to speak about the abortion issue very different. He gave a speech at Pepperdine where he said, why do we use violence in our society to solve problems? And the first thing he mentioned was abortion to solve unplanned pregnancy. And, you know, I think if if you're opposed to abortion, you really should vote that way. You can't, I mean, if you're opposed to it, there's no question how you should vote. So I think it's counterproductive to say I'm pro-life, but. So I would hope that, you know, people would start to say I'm pro-life and I'm voting against abortion in the future. But, you know, we do also hear about people, more pro-choice Democrats talking about reducing the abortion rate in America, which I think is a positive step. I think it's a lot better than fighting for abortion on demand for any reason. So, you know, any step in this direction is positive in my view, because, you know, we've been fighting for this for a long time. You know, we've been around for 6 years, and you know, it's not going to change overnight. We're not going to change the party overnight, but any movement toward our point of view is very positive.
Will the Democratic Party allow a pro-life speaker or speakers at this month's convention?
I believe they will. You know, there's been some talk about Senator Casey speaking. Actually, we are putting in a request to have Democrats for Life be represented because, you know, if you're having NARAL and Planned Parenthood and other pro-choice organizations speaking for that constituency of the party, we strongly believe that a Democratic organization who only supports Democrats should also have the opportunity to represent that constituency of the party.
Some might say that Democratic Party Chair Howard Dean is simply trying to appease pro-life Democrats in order to just get more votes. Your thoughts there?
Well, you know, I think he should try to appease pro-life Democrats because there are good pro-life Democrats running around the nation who, you know, people say, well, I'm not going to vote for you because you're a Democrat, and I think that's wrong. I mean, we have good, solid pro-life Democrats with solid pro-life credentials who really need the party to do more to support them, and we have seen more support. I think 2006 was the first time in over 25 years that the number of pro-life Democrats increased in the House instead of decreased, and that's largely due to the fact that the party is now looking at these pro-life Democrats as part of the party and people that we should support, you know, and saying, well, maybe there shouldn't be a litmus test anymore. And I think Senator Schumer was probably one of the first ones to come out and support Senator Casey. And I think he started a whole movement of people realizing that, you know, maybe, you know, only supporting pro-choice candidates isn't really a winning strategy.
Kristen, with only a minute before we conclude our conversation, you've made the case before in our conversations that the Democratic Party doesn't have to be pro-choice. When did it get hijacked by the pro-choice forces?
Well, you know, I think it was probably, you know, back in the 70s, right when Roe v. Wade was passed, and you had a lot of the anti-war activists who were really knew how the political system worked and knew how to work the party, and they really used it to their advantage. And you know, when you have a bunch of women talking about this issue that is mostly, you know, it affects women, you know, really saying that this is a good thing and we should allow it, I think they had a lot of influence, and, you know, they still have a lot of influence today. But, you know, we're really trying to counter that, and we have some good, strong women who are running, including Kathy Del Kemper, who is running in Pennsylvania, who is a strong pro-life woman who we hope that will win and be a strong, a good voice, a reasonable voice on for women who are pro-life, Democratic women in the House. So,
Kristen Day is Executive Director of Democrats for Life based in Washington. You can check out the on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and there you will find a link to Democrats for Life. Thanks so much for being our guest again.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And I think that my one-year-old son and my four-year-old daughter, Michael and Kate, are listening at their babysitters today, so I would like to say hello to them.
Well, hello to them, and thank you very much, Mom. When we come back, Dr. Alvin Schmidt will be our guest. We're going to talk about how Christianity changed and has influenced Western civilization.